Hi, welcome to St Ninian's Church in Stonehouse. My name's Stuart and I get to be the minister here. Thanks for joining us from wherever you find yourself today. We're glad that you've chosen to be with us.
This reading is from John 15:26-27. And 16:4-15. When the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of Truth, who comes from the Father, he will testify on my behalf. You also are to testify because you have been with me from the beginning. But I have said these things to you so that when the hour comes, you may remember that I told you about them. I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you, but now I am going to him who sent me. Yet none of you asks me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your hearts. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Advocate will not come to you, but if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will prove the world wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment, about sin because they do not believe in me, about righteousness because I am going to the Father and you will see me no longer, about judgment because the ruler of this world has been condemned. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of Truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has in mind. For this reason I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you.
This reading is from Acts 2:1-21. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. For all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages, as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem, and at the sound the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own language, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine."
The disciples were all together again on the 50th day, called Pentecost, a Jewish festival. From the day of resurrection, Easter, they witnessed sightings and interactions with the risen Christ, who ascended into heaven after 40 days, and told them to wait. "Do not leave Jerusalem," Jesus told them, "but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." I don't know about you, but I really don't like having to wait and anticipate what is to come next. Having to wait at the dentist's before knowing whether any work needs to be done. Having to wait for news of someone you love who's just gone through an operation. Or having to wait for the results of tests you've had done coming back. Having to wait for that scary, unknowable future. But that is what the disciples of Jesus were called to do at Jesus' ascension. they were called to wait. To wait in Jerusalem for the promise of the Father to be fulfilled. To wait to be baptized by the Holy Spirit. To wait. The very beginning of Acts sets the scene for today's passage. When we heard Jesus say just before he was lifted into a cloud in Acts 1 verse 8. But you will receive the power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. The disciples are to wait so that they might be empowered to be witnesses to the ends of the earth when they are filled with this mysterious Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. You have to wonder about how the disciples felt about Jesus' command to wait. Were they ready to go, to be sent out? Were they still frightened by the Roman or religious authorities? Waiting for the unknown must have been a difficult task for them, especially as we know that the ascension is not the first time Jesus just suddenly up and disappears, leaving them feeling possibly scared, abandoned, and powerless. So it's no wonder that after Jesus ascends into heaven, the disciples immediately return to Jerusalem and head to the upper room. The same place where they not long ago hid behind closed doors after Jesus' death and resurrection, out of fear and anticipation of what was to come. For the disciples, gathering together in that upper room is the only place to be. The place that seems to provide them with some sense of comfort when everything else in their life seems so uncertain. When they are full of worry and concern over what this Holy Spirit is and what it means to be baptized by it and what exactly that means for their futures. When they are overwhelmed with grief over the loss of the rabbi yet once again, and are concerned about how in the world they are to live as the people of God and be witnesses of Jesus to the ends of the earth, when Jesus, their dear friend and teacher, is now no longer with them to guide them and lead them along the way. I'm sure that many of us here can relate to the disciples. Those times when our future seems so unsure, when we can't sense Jesus' presence among us, when we just have no clue what God is calling of us or how our lives and relationships might change if we were to respond to that calling. When we are told by others that we are inadequate and we believe them. Those times when we feel voiceless and unheard. Or when we ourselves or our loved ones are so overcome with pain and suffering that we wonder if Jesus has just up and abandoned us, leaving us feeling alone and powerless. In times like that, don't we, like the disciples 2,000 years ago, tend to rush to the places and people that seem comfortable to us and shut the doors to keep anything else out that might shake us up a bit? The unknowns, the potential dangers and criticisms, the sufferings and injustice around us that are too painful or controversial that we would rather ignore and avoid them than acknowledge them. But for the disciples, it's in this moment, just when they begin to feel comfortable again, as they are gathered close together behind those closed doors in the upper room, when the Holy Spirit shows up. The Holy Spirit doesn't just show up in a quiet and gentle manner, like a calm summer breeze blowing through the trees and slowly touching and transforming those in its path. No, instead, on this day of Pentecost, the Spirit comes unexpectedly, loudly, pulling those gathered in the upper room out of their comfort zones. The flames and violent wind of Pentecost usually get most of our attention in this story. If that loud wind came rushing through our houses or church right now, with divided tongues like fire appearing over our heads, I think we'd probably be more than just a little bit frightened. It's certainly not how we like to think of the Holy Spirit's presence, is it? In our reading from John's Gospel, Jesus describes the Holy Spirit as the advocate. Other translations use the word helper or comforter, the Greek word being parakletos. But parakletos means more than that. It literally means one who comes alongside. There is an understanding that this means to come alongside us, to comfort us in our confusion and despair, or to come alongside us as an advocate would in a court of law. But in our reading from Acts, the way the Holy Spirit first descends on the disciples is anything but comfortable. We are told that a loud rush of violent wind sweeps in and fills the house where the disciples are praying together. That doesn't exactly sound comforting to me. However, there, in that upper room, the Holy Spirit pours out onto all who are present, filling them, empowering them, and lighting their hearts on fire. And these uneducated disciples from the back skirts of Galilee begin to speak in languages they never spoken before about the deeds and the power of God. Pentecost is often called the birthday of the church. It's the day the disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit and were sent forth from Jerusalem to the ends of the earth, sharing the good news of the gospel of Jesus. The doubting, fearful, stumbling group of disciples became the very people who would change the world. It's when the movement of the church began. But the divine dance had started long before the day of Pentecost. We find the Holy Spirit moving time again throughout the scriptures. It was given to the doubtful disciples who were too busy being frightened to see it move around them. Too often, we, like the disciples, try to lock the Spirit behind closed doors, along with our own God-given call. Yet the Holy Spirit moves where it wants and is impossible to define or catch or nail down. That's why we use metaphors for the Holy Spirit, such as flame, wind, and breath. Things you can't catch or hold down. Things that move where they wish. And what happened on the day of Pentecost was communal, connectional, and relational between God and among people. What the Holy Spirit does is fill the gap of everything. We often feel like there is a gap or space between us and God. There's a gap between what we believe and what is true, that the Spirit is everywhere and as close to us as our very own breaths. There is a gap or divide between people. We see it in our world. There are divisions in almost everything. Yet it is the Spirit that brings diversity, not division. The Spirit creates diversity and is the great connector of all those very diverse things, said Richard Rohr in his book, The Divine Dance. He wrote, "This image of the Spirit is stoked as descending tongues of fire, creating mobile temples of people from all nations, speaking a universal language of love that allows them to understand one another's diverse language. Jesus demonstrates God's grace and inclusion of people of all backgrounds. When Jesus' disciples finally came to understand this, they did the same. They saw that all people, whether Jews or Gentiles or foreigners, could enter the circle dance of the Trinity and experience the Spirit poured out upon them." The story of Pentecost is one of inclusion. The gift of the Holy Spirit is poured out lavishly and indiscriminately. Everyone is able to join in and everyone gets to hear the good news in language that they understand and can relate to. At the end of Acts chapter 2, we read, "All the believers were together and had everything in common." There was a sense of unity, of inclusiveness, a sense that when the power of the Holy Spirit moves, nothing is impossible. Father Rohr describes the movement of the Holy Spirit in this way. "It is the Spirit in history that seems to be driving us forward, not giving up on us. The Spirit is God within and in the spaces in between." This can be our Pentecost moment, where we begin to see how the Spirit fills the gaps, There's one wind, one language, one church, and one breath at Pentecost. Our Pentecost moment can begin when we see in God a dance of love as Rhoad writes. Whatever is going on in God is a flow, a radical relateness, a perfect communion between three, a circle dance of love. In his book, he invites us into this divine dance where everyone and everything belongs. If God is truly the life force of everything, as Rhoad argues, then what we see at Pentecost, while it seems to be unbelievable, becomes a reminder of the power of the Spirit moving in the disciples' lives and in ours. From the blowing of a violent wind to the very breath that we take every single moment, the Holy Spirit is being poured upon us and is moving deep within us, moment by moment and breath by breath. The story of Pentecost sweeps in when we are too comfortable and moves us out of those places we cling to, when we fear the unknowns and try to avoid the pain and injustice around us. It's about empowering us to do the things that so many others, and even sometimes our own systems, have told us we can't do because of our gender, age or economic situation, our education status, colour of skin or sexual orientation. It's about equipping all of us to be prophets by speaking truth, spreading love and fighting for justice and equality for all of God's children. It's about calling us to continue what Jesus set out to do, which after his own baptism by the Holy Spirit at the beginning of his ministry, he declares that the Spirit of the Lord had anointed him to bring good news to the poor, give sight to the blind, proclaim release to the captives, and let the oppressed go free. Pentecost is about sending Jesus' disciples out into the world to be witnesses to the ends of the earth, now that Jesus is no longer physically on this earth to do so himself. But you will receive the power when the Holy Spirit comes in you, and you will be my witnesses. How are we to be witnesses? With the help of the Holy Spirit, we can be Jesus' witnesses to all people, to follow in Jesus' footsteps of loving the oppressed and standing up for justice and equality. Jesus may no longer be physically present, but as his followers, we should all represent Jesus through our living and through our actions. For me, that is the heart of Pentecost. To be the hands and feet of Christ in this world. In the Ascension, Jesus declared that though he will no longer be physically on this earth to preach the good news himself, his work will continue in and through each one of us. And Pentecost is where Jesus passes on this important work of God to all of us. Jesus didn't leave the early disciples alone, abandoned and powerless when he ascended into heaven. And he didn't leave us alongside those first century disciples, alone and powerless either. He left all of his disciples with empowerment through the presence and guidance of the Holy Spirit, our advocate, our comforter, who sometimes makes our life uncomfortable so that we too can be witnesses of God's love to the ends of the earth. And so, I pray that the Spirit who appeared like a driving wind would blow away our hatred and teach us to value all people. That the Spirit of God who appeared like tongues of flame would burn in us as a passion for justice and a commitment to change. That the Spirit of life who caused the disciples to speak in tongues would speak through us and fill us with the courage to proclaim God's love. And that the Spirit of truth, who fills us with wonder and awe, would inspire us to work for a better world and a future where injustice is swept away and all that is left is joy, peace, love and hope. I'd like to leave you today with the words of Teresa of Avila, the 16th century nun who reformed the Carmelite order. Christ has no body but yours. no hands, no feet on earth, but yours. Yours are the eyes with which he looks compassion on this world. Yours are the feet with which he walks to do good. Yours are the hands with which he blesses all the world. Yours are the hands. Yours are the feet. Yours are the eyes. You are his body. Christ has no body now, but yours. No hands, no feet on earth, but yours. Yours are the eyes with which he looks compassion on this world. Christ has no body now on earth, but yours.
Of God. Lord God, we thank you that when we grieve and find it hard to pray, when we cannot find the words, your Spirit intercedes with groans too deep for words. Spirit, intercede for us now. Sometimes we lose heart at all the suffering we witness, both near and far, but may we always see you wherever your children suffer, wherever the earth cries out in anguish. You, the God of all creation, tear open the heavens and dwell among your people. Give us courage to go into all the places you already are. Remind us that nothing is done in the name of love is ever wasted, and that all that we do for the least of these we do for you. We pray for your healing for all of creation. We pray for unity in your church, so that together with you we may heal the world. We pray for all who lead and give wise counsel. May they lead with justice and compassion, and build on a foundation of love. And we pray for all whom we know, struggling this day with loss, with disappointment, with illness, with bereavement, with lack of hope and purpose. Spirit of God, blow change through our hearts, our lives, our world. We ask all these prayers in your name, and together we pray the words that you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
So go from this time with the blessing of God, God known to us as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, with us this day and always.
May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. And give